Going. Going.
Run.
Jumpa. Do you like that?
Fred Dibner, the Bolton steeplejack, is a man of Victorian tastes, with two passions, chimneys and steam engines. The chimneys, he expects, will one day end his life. His steam engine has already come near to wrecking it.
This thing nearly caused me sort of divorce proceedings and much upset, you know. Spend more money on this than the wife and the kids and no holidays. Lots of people who I've come to know over the years with the chimneys say, you spend too much time playing with your steam engine, you see. And you should come and get our job done. Which, in some ways, is very true. I have neglected my business and, well, everything, really, for the sake of this 10-ton of iron.
You might have thought that by now Fred had learned his lesson about steam engines. He hadn't. Not by any means.
Now that this thing's almost finished, you know, I keep having funny thoughts about buying another one, you know, but next time, you know, it'll have to have springs and rubber tyres, because when you ride along on this thing, it knocks your teeth out if you go over a manhole cover. A tractor, compared with this thing here, you'd just have a little axle under here and two wheels on. And, like, the thing romps along with half the bloody pain. Now, I think I could afford to buy a wreck. Any that's painted and all done up beautiful, you know, they want 15,000 bloody pounds for, which I can't afford. But I could do my best with one like this one were when I bought it. This took 14 years of hard labour, and it were bloody hard as well, you know. Like, in that firebox, there's 232 holes that I drilled with a bloody ratchet drill. Sort of, I had, like, a bottle of Guinness outside and sort of, have another drink and, kills the pain working this bloody drill. You know, everything appertaining to these things has got to be so old that everybody's thrown it away. And, like, I've now got a grand collection of riveting equipment and machines that'll do things that nobody else has. And so, you know, the next one will be a lot easier, you know. It'll only take maybe 4 years, you know, at the same sort of rate of knots that it took to do this thing. Like, my wife wants me to buy one so that it keeps me out of the pub. So she'll have me here in the backyard, locked up in the shed.
Well, the steamroller we've got now travels, what, roughly 4 miles an hour. And travelling along the road at 4 miles an hour takes an awful long time, and it's hard work. Whereas a traction engine goes about 15 miles an hour, and that would be a lot quicker, and we'd be able to go to the rallies in our old age and keep on going. We won't pop off on the way.
And so, with Alison persuaded of the advantages of a traction engine over their steamroller, Fred now confessed that his aspirations were based on firmer ground than might have been supposed.
I know where there is an Aveling tractor, what eventually could have rubber tyres on, and it's got springs, you know, and you don't bite the end off your tongue when you go over a manhole cover. And I've done some negotiating with the man, but, you know, like, £1,000 it were mine, and then it went up to £1,500, and then one day when I were drunk, I offered him £2,000, and when I was sober, I was bloody sorry about it. I know that, you know, he'll never do nought with it, you know, and I could make it into a very beautiful engine. Have you know, give it any thoughts, like, you know, when my last offer?
Well, I thought about it a bit, Fred. You know, it's difficult talking about the money side with somebody you know, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
We had this
bit,
trouble before,
yeah.
Back in the office when we discussed it.
Yeah. Like 2,000 quid, you know, sort of, you know, am I getting any nearer?
Yeah, yeah, Fred. I was thinking around 2.5 myself.
Oh, well, I'll give you 2,003 for it.
Well, we're getting rather nearer now, aren't we? We're getting rather nearer. Yeah, I think, you know, I think we could really begin to think around about that sort of figure.
I don't know, you know. Well, the more I look at it, you see, and sort of I want it, and then I keep thinking about all the effort that's going to be involved in making it go, you know. I'll be an old fella, I think, by the time I've done that up.
No, there's a lot of work's got to be done, too.
Oh,
it's going to take
a
year or two to get that
right. Have you got, you know, all the missing bits, like? You know,
most of them, Fred. You know, come and have a look around the back, yeah?
All right.
Go on. The differential.
These aren't so bad, are they? They're not as...
Not bad. You've got a bit of slop on. Yeah. You'd expect that, wouldn't you?
Not as much as some, though.
No, not bad. The crankshaft's over there.
Yeah.
A bit behind that other crankshaft, but...
Got balance weights on as well, haven't it?
Yeah. They run pretty fast, those little engines.
Yeah.
There's a box of goodies here, Fred, as well. Non-ferrous.
Yeah.
Clacks and things I've picked up in various parts of the country. Unmachined.
Yeah.
Just got a casting.
Yeah, on that other side over there, where there's
that's right. And then up against the wall, Fred, there's the
eccentrics. Yeah, connecting rods and eccentrics.
Yeah, all the bits and pieces line up there.
Nice brass, isn't it?
Yeah, not bad. Well, it's come from a county council. They looked after it pretty well. You know, it was working until they pulled it out for a board inspection about 15 years ago and never bothered to do any work on it after that.
Well, I think I'll have it then, you know. Give us a week or two to sort the money out, you know. You know, it's like a long time since we crashed into each other, isn't it?
It's a few years.
Two steamrollers. It could have been catastrophic, that, you know. Sort of, like, bounced off each other, didn't we?
Fair old bang, didn't it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
We shouldn't have been, you know, had as much pop as we'd had. Well, not really. I think we can do it rest with Jack now. I think it's time we went for a pint, actually.
And the first job's the boiler.
Steam coming off me.
Now we're going to manage paying for all the bits and pieces.
We'll manage. We managed before with that, didn't we? No more holidays.
We've never had any. Are they going to start working a bit harder
now? I've worked twice as hard and pay for all the bits that are missing.
Fred geared down his old steamroller to drive the machinery he'd use in beating out parts for the new engine.
Like I work in this shed, sometimes till 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, and I like contain me hammering, you know, down to like 9 o'clock, you know, I don't do any heavy blows, you know, I don't like, you know, I respect the neighbours. And sort of Donald says you can hear this hammer in his parlour, which is 200 yards away, you know, that sort of thing. Well, you know, they're only bloody 20 yards away, so. Mind you, their house is up for sale at present. It's not everybody's cup of tea, is it, this sort of thing? You've really got to be, say, a bit crackers, really be dedicated, you know. It kills a lot of men off, you know, and you never see them again, like, you know. I've quite a few friends who've come with a great deal of enthusiasm and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And sort of after first nasty winter, you know, boom, they've gone, never to be seen again.
Next day, Fred got underway with a big chimney maintenance job, which would help to finance the building of his engine, and which he seized as a golden opportunity to offer instruction on the art of putting up scaffolding.
Now I look around and sort of lots of scaffolds at the top of chimneys that have been erected by so-called steeplejacks look like a bloody biplane's crashed into top, and you know there's pipes going all over the show, all different directions. No square or symmetrical about the thing. It had fascinated me for, you know, all through my childhood. Oh, the hell, there's one little man get all that up to top of a 200-foot factory chimney, and fix it all up. And you know, like if you went to talk to most of them. They couldn't really explain in, you know, language I understood how you did it, because I don't think they really knew themselves, you know. They'd just left school and been shown, you know, the way to do it, and they battered at it in a wild sort of a fashion. And life went by, and one day I met the man who sort of had been a draftsman, and he'd only ended up in this crazy job through his father-in-law were a bit stuck, who were a steeplejack, and he'd gone help him out, and he were like a bit of a cut above the rest with the grey matter. And he explained to me with a piece of chalk on the cobblestones in a mill yard in Bolton how you put the ladders up and how you put the staging up round top of a chimney. First thing I've got to do is get me bosun's chair up, and then I'm dangling in a position somewhere round about here on me. Three bits of rope and a little board. I have then got to chisel four holes into the brickwork, 6 inches apart in a vertical plane and a couple of foot apart the other way. And the next thing, up comes four iron pins or iron dogs. The purpose of these is to support a great balk of timber, which you'll come up next, you see. I just put one of these dogs or pins in the hole on the left-hand side of the ladder. When the batten comes up the chimney, it's tied onto the line that goes from another pulley wheel at the top right down to the floor. It's tied on in a position about 4 feet from one end, and then the rope runs up the side of it, and there's a lashing round there which I can conveniently undo. And then I guide that piece of timber with, you know, Donald at the bottom supporting its weight, and I guide it behind the ladder until I've got it going across here, like so. then I put the next pin or dog underneath that side of it, two more over the top. So then I've got it so it won't go up and down, it won't waddle about. In a bosun's chair, if you've looked after all the rope and all the tattle, you have a beautiful sense of security. Because, you know rope will hold a couple of tonne and you weigh nowhere near that. And, pays you to look after your equipment because, if that bloody rope breaks, you're dead. It's half a day out with the undertaker. When I get on my seatboard, I give it a little bounce and just see whether it's safe or not, and more often, it's never broke yet, but I'm always ready to get all that bloody ladder if it does break. The next thing that comes up are two things called legs, which are pieces of 2.5 inch by about 4 inch timber with an hole in each end. This batten has a series of holes drilled in it, and I then proceed to bolt one on there and one over there, like so. And then I lower myself down on my bosun's chair and mark a suitable joint at the bottom and knock a pin through there and a pin through there. So I've then got that like all braced up quite solid. When that's been done on both sides of the chimney, the next thing to come up is two long steel rods, which I use to connect both of these battens together. And I've got this big iron rod and I've got to send it over to the far batten. And that means maybe 14 feet across, or 12 foot on a reasonable chimney stack. I've got to get that rod onto the other batten so that it's in like line with an hole, and as it scrapes down the face, give it a shove through the hole, and if you're lucky, you'll get it through, sort of thing. It's rather a tricky bit, that. See, all the modern men use aluminium scaffolding tubing now, but I like this way of doing it. It's a bit more awkward, but when you've got it all up, it's quite solid. Then when you've finally got the rods through the two sets of holes, then you put the washers and the nuts on, or a few packing pieces, so you can slightly cramp them up around the chimney. Then after we've got the two battens on and bolted together, the next stage of the game is planks, which form like the platform that you walk on, come up one at once, of course, or some of them like 16, 18 feet long. And when it arrives at the top, it's tied on in a special way that when I untie it, I can get like one plank across there, like so, and one across there, like so, and then another one next to it, you see, all the way around the top. And so that when you walk on them, they don't go like up and down like that. Two iron plates with a bolt through the middle, which makes them two boards as one. And then there's iron hooks that hook them onto the battens. So the wind can blow at 100 mile an hour and they'll still be there in the morning, you see. Wind is every steeplejack's enemy, like there's no way that you know, you get the boards up, and even if you've got to keep it flat all the time, and you've got this feeling that it's floating on the wind, you know, which it really is, and if you turn it sideways on into the wind, it'd have you away. In a wind like today, sort of all the chimneys, you know, you get about 2 or 3 inches swaying about, you know. It's actually all the chimney stacks swaying, you know, from side to side. You know, the most beautiful chimney with no cracks in it and nothing sways about, you know. You have that feeling that there's something not quite right, you know, as though you've had about 5 pints of beer. Like, you know, you think, you know, there's something moving somewhere, sort of thing. And, you know, it's all the bloody lot going like this. If you're on the windy side of it, you don't feel it because the wind's buffeting you about, you see. But if you go around in the slipstream and sit on the stage nice and quiet and just lean against the wall, you can feel it moving, you know, rocking. Nice. A big gust and it, you'll feel it go right over, and then there's a bit of a lee in the wind, you feel it come back. It's quite unbelievable, you know. There's not many people experienced out like that. When we've got all the big planks in position, on the large diameter chimney, there's a great gap in the corner, so we've got 4 boards called corner boards that fit across the corners, you see, like so, which, like, stops you falling through the hole in the corner. Once you've got the first staging up, or the first deck up, you know, the firm basis for going higher up, then you chisel the holes for the next staging. And, you know, you can work quite comfortably as though you were on the ground. When I've done it, when I've got all the gear up, you know, to me, it's a bloody magnificent achievement, you know. You've, like, really got the world at your feet. I'm a compulsive cigarette smoker. I wish I weren't, really, because it's not doing me any good, you know, I can tell. But it's, I don't know, something about smoking. When you've, like, done something, you know, there's something gone right, you have to, like, celebrate with a cigarette, you see. And when everything goes right, you see, you're smoking all the bloody time, you know. Terrible things happen some days, like you bend over and you've got them in your top pocket, you see, and boom, they've gone, you know, 20 packet, you see. And you watch it floating down, and more often than not, straight in the middle of a puddle of water, or it'll mill lodge, you see, so you can say goodbye to them, like. But, you know, if that happens, you just, you know, I mean, I'm not going 200 foot down for the sake of a smoke, you know, so I don't bother. More often than not, the matches create a bit of a problem, so signal down to Donald for the matches, you know, like, matches. And he sticks, like, 3 in the rope, you know, and sort of, if we're lucky, they've not struck themselves on the side of the chimney on road up. Like the wind and the cigarettes, there's a reason again. You light a cigarette on top of a big chimney and it's gone in about 3 minutes, you know. You can see it glowing on the end in the wind. I don't know, I think a great deal about giving up smoking cigarettes. Because, you know, I know what it did to my father, and I know how I'm going more or less the same way he went. And didn't die with the lung cancer, though, you know. He got bronchitis, you know, and coughed himself away. smoking, really, you know, it's a bit of an hazard, but so's climbing chimneys, like. I would think, really, if you're very careful climbing chimneys, you've more chance of living a bit longer if you don't smoke, you know, but all the old-timers I knew all smoked Park Drive, all the old steeplejacks, I don't know why, but they all did, you know, and they all used to stop halfway up and have a puff, you know, and, you know, they've all gone now, though. Wonderful sensation is to turn round and put your back to the wall and so your vision's straight out and you appear to be just suspended in air, you know, 200 feet up off the floor. And you're like, as though you're just hanging off somewhere up in heaven, you know, in this clouds, which is nice because you can sit there and have a smoke and sort of look about, you know, and survey the land. You know, I think about what I'm going to do with my engine at home tonight and what big problem can we solve. You know, I've solved a lot of problems sitting on tops of factory chimneys.